Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you once again. Today would be June 23rd, 2018. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, and last week was my fault because I got my interviews confused, and I thought I was bringing Andrew onto our show, and I was going on to his.
Actually, brother, you're confused again. Oh, that was 2 weeks ago. We had a scheduling mishap. Last week was my fault.
See, it's just been too long. That's what the problem is. I mean, it has been a long couple of weeks, and now I'm not even sure what week it is. I know it's almost the end of June, and we're rolling into the first part of summer. We just had that a couple days ago now. We've actually entered into summer now.
I jumped out ahead of it this year. I tried to beat the rush, and I've already started wishing people Merry Christmas because 4th of July is coming up, which means, you know, they start putting stuff out earlier and earlier each year, and usually in July you start having Christmas and summer sales, and, you know, the Christmas decorations start showing up at your local Walmart. So I figured I'd just get a jump on it this year, and this week I've wished people Merry Christmas, and several of them have responded like I'm crazy, but...
Well, okay, responding like you're crazy may not necessarily relate to the wishing a Merry Christmas, just so you understand that.
This is true. Hey, while you're on the subject of crazy, I have to ask you this.
Uh-oh.
I listened to your interview with Andrew Rappaport, and first, all kidding aside, you did a wonderful job. I was really proud of you, and you did great. But on the next issue, Andrew tweeted something out hinting that you were basically throwing me under the bus or something.
I honestly have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I never could figure out what he was talking about. So I was just going to ask you straight out, what was it you said that threw me under the bus?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. I have no clue. I think Andrew lost his mind. I have no idea.
The only thing I heard was the implication again that I somehow rigged his contest, and I think you and I had joked about it, and I had told you to tell Andrew that really I'm Yoda in disguise, and I manipulated the outcome with my Jedi mind tricks. But well, other than that...
You have to understand, this is also the same Andrew who, of his own accord, decided to make it sound like we were mocking the guys over at Theology Driven, which we can do easily because, you know, they are mockable at times. Oh, I'm so in so much trouble for that. but he came up with this idea, and before the show even posted, the night the recording was done, he's throwing me under the bus, telling the guys I had nothing to do with it. It's all Chris's fault. Excuse me, Andrew, you have control of the recording instrument. I was simply a passive bystander in this one.
Well, I have to say, he did a really good job having his sound effects set up and ready for that show. He had that planned and knew what he was going to do going into it.
Yes, Andrew is a master manipulator, master planner, master... you know, whatever it is he's going to do, because he knows well in advance how he's going to twist you up in circles and then try to make it look like it was your fault. So just ask Matt Slick. Ask Matt Slick. That poor guy is getting no mercy from Andrew since Andrew's been out there this week. Out there in Idaho, they were ministering to the Mormon community out there, and that poor Matt can't even buy dinner without Andrew mocking him, saying, "I beat you to it," and putting him on video to do it.
Well, I know that, and we love Andrew. We're really just jabbing at him with some good, clean fun. He knows that we're just teasing and messing with him there. But Theology Driven did have a response to my rebuke of them making fun of Southern accents.
Apparently, that's natural for them. Is their excuse?
I forget the whole scenario, but basically, me and one of their guys should start our own podcast and call it Southern Molasses.
That actually might work. As long as you don't drew it in the back of a vehicle is all I can say, because I agree with Andrew. At some point, we're going to hear, you know, during that show. And I don't have fancy special effects, Andrew, so I had to make those up. So,
well, if we did a drive-by or theology-driven episode in the South, you would never be able to hear us talk because we'd be in a four-wheel drive pickup truck with dual exhaust and glass packs so loud that it would be rattling the windows.
Just a little bit, yes. Okay, so for our listeners who are now completely clueless as to what we're talking about, Andrew Rappaport, head of Striving for Eternity Ministries, puts on the various, I think it's now Equip, like Equip Ohio, Equip New Jersey, and they're finally making their way back to California with that same kind of conference to put on training for evangelism, get people out there sharing the gospel, fantastic ministry. Also dedicated to equipping people with systematic understanding of theology, hermeneutics, etc. So if you look up Striving for Eternity on the internet, you'll find a great deal of resources there, and you'll find Andrew Rappaport's podcast of his own called The Rap Report. That's R-A-P-P Report, and you can find that on iTunes. He does a daily two-minute podcast and then a weekly one-hour program, and I want to say blessed to be on the show, but with Andrew, that's kind of a mixed bag. But I got to be his guest when I got so confused on that one. That's why we missed a week, because I was thinking we were trying to orchestrate this, and I got it in my head that he was coming on our show, and then he emails me with the link up to go to his show, and I went, "Hey, Rich, need to reschedule." So kind of messed that up. That's on me. But now, see, he threw you under the bus because he tried to say it was your fault, but that was my fault. But and the other guys over at Theology Driven, our good friends Kevin, also known as Anonymous, Scott Hunt, James, all those guys. Fantastic program every week. Yes, it's called Theology Driven because they, unlike Andrew's sound effects, they actually are in a car. They actually do nearly run over deer and people staring at statues and drive into swamps. And the whole time that they're doing this, they're talking about specific issues of theology, and highly encourage both programs. Recommend you listen to them both. They're certainly getting a lot more downloads than you and I are, Rich. So maybe we're doing this wrong. Maybe we keep redirecting people to the wrong shows. But grateful to we have a constant sparring session with the folks over at Theology Driven. So I don't know how that started, but we had it. That feud doesn't seem to end, so we're just going to keep running with it.
Okay. Actually, it was mentioned at one time, and I think it was between me and Scott. It started out as a joke, but I think it would be a great idea for you and I to join them on one of their episodes, and we're just all five, six, ever how many of us trying to discuss a topic at one time.
That's so much ADD at one point, I don't think we'd get through the show. Guaranteed, we would cause one of them to wreck, so it's probably not a good idea. But no, actually, that would be great to actually join forces with those guys. Wonderful brethren. I really appreciate the work they do. That being said, we should be doing some work of our own because we're 8 minutes in, and we haven't had a show in a couple weeks, and people are going to wonder if we're going to get around to one. So we should probably get to that. Wanted to talk about a article that was sent to us by one of our listeners, KT. Thank you for sending. Well, I almost want to say not say thank you, because this was almost painful as we started to dig through this. It was an article on Fox News, and it's an opinion article. It was posted as of right now, 21 hours ago, by a Chris Songsen, S-O-N-K-S-E-N. Chris Songsen, who I guess is a pastor of a, well, I guess we're going to call it a megachurch type person.
Oh. Don't give away the secret yet.
But he posted an article today that, honestly, Rich, it left my head scratching, and I sent it to you and said, am I reading this right? Because I don't think he's going, I think he's identified something, but I think what he's saying doesn't ring true. And you and I had to kind of bounce this around a little bit, didn't we?
Just a little bit. It was one of those articles you had to read like three times, and then you still were a bit confused.
So what we want to do is, the title of this article, opinion article, is, "I'm a Pastor, and I Want You to Quit Church Now." exclamation point. Yeah, that's... No, I'm not kidding, folks. That's what the article actually is titled. It's a short article. I'm not going to read through every part of it, but we're going to read through some of this, and we're going to talk about two aspects of it. First is the article itself, and then we're going to talk about the author of this article, Pastor Chris Songson, and maybe talk about some of the motivations with regards to that. And Rich, I think we were talking about pre-show. I think this will actually be a good reason, maybe next program, to talk about what the actual purpose of the church is, because I think in our current day and age, this is going to be very timely. So let's just quickly run through what Pastor Songson has. I almost hate to say pastor. Please understand, I'm not trying to be crass, I'm not trying to be rude, but as you hear some of the things we're talking about, I think you'll understand why there's a hesitancy on my part, at least, to even refer to him as a pastor.
Well, first thing, I'll have to tilt my hat. The title was very creative. It definitely does its purpose. It grabs your attention, and not necessarily makes you want to read, but it's one of those, it's like going down the highway and you see a car wreck. You can't help but stare. And when you sent me that title, that was enough. I clicked it open and started making my way through the junkyard.
Yeah, it's definitely a clickbait title. No question about that. He has mastered that for sure. So Pastor Songson starts this way. At a time when church attendance is shrinking in America, I, a pastor, am encouraging people to quit church. Why? The answer is birthed out of conversations and research that I've been a part of over the last several years. And he goes on to state that he has a church leadership program called Church Boom. Boom is B-O-O-M, all in capitals. And in this program that he runs, he's trying to help pastors plant and grow churches, essentially. And he says that he meets with them from all over the world, and their conversations carry a common theme, and that's that those who attend church are passive towards serving, giving, and community outreach. And to quote further, in most churches, 80% of the work is being carried out by 20% or less of the people. So that, Rich, you and I would both agree, that's a legitimate observation. We hear it all the time.
Very much so, and I don't know if the statistics would hold true everywhere, but having my father-in-law was a pastor, and having several pastors within my family and in-law type family, I would say that one of their, and I'm not going to say gripes, but one thing that discourages them is the lack of participation by church members when it comes to various activities, just like what this gentleman was speaking of.
Right. I mean, he does some research, and he says 39% of believers consider the Bible as the literal word of God. Now, that we've heard that in recent statistics. That's terrifying. People who actually profess to be followers of Christ, 39% don't believe only 39% believe the Bible is literally the word of God. Thank you, Andy Stanley and others who are helping, you know, just make that worse. 20% of believers follow the principles of giving. 5% have shared their faith with a non-believer. More than half of them attend church once a month or less. Now, well, that's what I would say is welcome to American evangelicalism. That's been going on for quite some time. And he is correct. Something has to change. However, what he then goes into, Rich, you and I, we were scratching our heads, because a person who is, I think, not theologically astute about what the church is, what the purpose of serving in the church is, would read this and go, oh, yeah, that sounds right. You know, that sounds good. But I think he's playing upon the ignorance, in my opinion, of most of American evangelicalism in order to further what his goal is, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Would you look at that and agree with that, maybe?
Yeah, he's setting it up and throwing out some solid statements, some solid statistics, some very believable comments, you know, and this is something you and I both have experienced a great deal of over the last several years, having been involved with Cross Encounters Ministry and Cross Encounters Radio, and and having been exposed to maybe more of this type of thing than maybe just a general churchgoer has, but that's a common thread amongst so many, what's the word I'm looking for, not heretic, but maybe those that are more along the seeker-friendly prosperity gospel type, they'll throw in enough meat to make you overlook the bones and the gristle that's actually the point of what they're getting to.
Exactly. And it's been such a huge problem within American evangelicalism. And the sad part is that far too many people are so busy choking on the bones that they just can't bother to notice that they're choking on bones. They're so busy trying to get something, they don't seem to care the damage it's doing. And that's a whole another issue for another topic, but for another radio program, I should say. But that is what I think the problem with articles like this is that they are targeted at the lowest common denominator. And they don't challenge the person to think past the assertions being made and don't challenge you to dig into the Word of God. And that's, I think, what the problem with this article is. So let's get on to what he said is the solution to this lack of participation in the church. He says, casual attendance and the belief that others will serve, give, and share the gospel are tearing down churches across our country brick by brick. Now, in one respect, Rich, I would agree with that there is a lot of that attitude within the American Evangelical Church. I would disagree that it's tearing down churches. It depends on how you're defining churches. I think this pastor is simply defining it in the broadest terms possible, and what we may actually be seeing more of is, as those churches dwindle and participation dwindles and the churches are closing up shop, that what you're seeing is the bride of Christ being revealed and the false believers falling away. I think that's testimony to the parable of the soils. That's another issue. But that's where we start to see the wheels kind of come off this article. He's already saying, well, the lack of participation by people is causing churches to fail. That's in one respect, there's truth in that, but it's a wrong assessment, in my opinion.
Well, at this point, we'll really... When we read anything, we really should always try to understand the meaning behind the text, whether it's a secular author or quote-unquote Christian author. Just like we do with the Bible, we need to ask the who, what, when, why, and where, and understand the author's meaning and not exegete or eisegete and put our own meaning and application into it. But
and that's, I think, that's what I think he's preying on. Is he's counting on people to read their common meaning of certain things, like what the church is, into it, and not think about it in a biblical context. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
But I was just going to say, from this point on, is really, you have to use some keen discernment in what he's saying. But keep going, and okay. where I want to go, we'll get there after you finish the article.
Okay, so he says, as believers, it's time that we are either all in or we get out. The solution is simple, quit. That's right, quit. If we quit the casual way we approach God's principles, can you imagine what would happen in our personal walks of faith and in our community of believers? Now, Rich, that sounds like it has some validity to it, doesn't it? If we stop approaching God casually and we committed ourselves to a greater walk with Christ, doesn't that sound like that's a good idea?
Well, that sounds, you know, reading it from a biblical perspective, yes, that is very solid, because, you know, that would somewhat echo what Paul said when he talks about examining yourself to make sure that you're in the faith, you know, not departing from the narrow path and, you know, not starting to drift towards the world. Yeah, you know, in that context, you could interpret that sentence along those lines, but you and I think both agree that we don't think that that's exactly what the author is meaning.
Exactly. And what's funny is, as we read this, I want our listeners to think about, when you're thinking about the gifts of the Spirit, service in the church, edifying the body of Christ, all those things that we're supposed to, plug that into your mind and read it with those lenses, using it as a means to cut through what he's actually saying here, because as you do, I think you'll feel what Rich and I got when we read this, and that was a sense of something's not right here. He says, what if every believer exercised generosity? What if every Christian fought for loyalty in the local church? What if everyone served in their God-given purpose? What would happen if we simply stopped, if we stopped simply believing and started belonging? There's those Christian buzzwords we like. It's kind of like when people say, well, I don't believe in religion, I believe in a relationship, except that it's the book of James that tells us that pure and undefiled religion is this, to keep, you know, to serve, to take care of widows and orphans in their time of need, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So James has no problem with the word religion, because that's what it is. Yes, in the Christian religion, we have an emphasis on our relationship with Christ. But when we say, well, it's all about religion and not, or all about relationship, not religion, those are buzzwords that sometimes lack any real depth. And here's where he's doing that. We stopped simply believing and started belonging. Rich, those are buzzwords that we do hear in a certain type of movement within the evangelical church, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And in that little section you read, the word that stands out to me is the word belonging, the way he ends that paragraph. And I think that is more clear as you read the next portion of that article.
Yep. So he goes on to say, if we would only quit the way we approach our relationship to Christ and our local church, the blessing, the reward, the joy, the fulfillment, the purpose, and the increase would radically transform our lives and the world. Together, we can revolutionize the church. That's a troublesome statement. If you're not putting on those biblical lenses, you might not see it. But if you put biblical lenses on, there's a problem. And Rich, what I'm seeing here is, serve, commit, and you get all of this. It's tit for tat. You know, quid pro quo. You know, you give me this, I give you that. Put the right spiritual money in, get the right spiritual result. He's talking about we need to do for the purpose of making our lives better and making the church better. And then in return, we get the world better. But there's a very big key component missing from that, Rich. Can we guess what that is?
I don't know, Chris. What is it?
I think it has to deal with the fact that when we serve, who are we serving? You know, our service, our worship is for one. It's for God himself. He's talking about quit the way we approach our relationship to Christ. I agree. There is a very flippant attitude towards when we start saying it's about religion, not relationship, because it doesn't have that emphasis on being obedient to Christ out of our deep love for him. So he uses these buzzwords and is kind of getting the same result. You do this and approach Christ right, and guess what? You get blessings and rewards and joy, and your lives get transformed. And guess what? Together, who can revolutionize your church? We can. Well,
was there another portion after that?
There's a little bit more, and we'll go through it real quick. But that right there, to me, is where the wheels came off. It's the emphasis on us doing for a result. You know, he's talking about dwindling churches, so let's quit doing these, you know, this passive relationship. Let's be active in our relationship, and guess what? We get a tangible result. That is what is happening within American evangelicalism. Get people doing things and get a specific result, and that is a problem. Let me just quickly read through these last few paragraphs here. He says, conversations over the past several years revealed spiritual habits necessary for personal and church growth. There's the buzzwords again. And revealed the why behind disengagement in church. Truth is, if we don't feel passionate about something, we don't do it. If we don't like something that happens in a church, we find another one. If the spiritual practices don't fit our lifestyle, then we don't do them. This mindset permeates our I want it now and I want it my way culture, and is only enforced through social media, website choices, TV options, and countless other platforms that have risen in prominence in our lives. Again, Rich, I agree with his observations. There is some correct observation here, but his solution is not is not connecting, in my opinion, to what the actual issue is. The local church isn't a building. It's a body of believers fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. Okay, that's a problem. I can't give two sentences in without having to stop. It's a body of believers fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. No, it's not. God's bride is His chosen people that He has redeemed from out of His coming wrath for His glorification. That's what the church is. It's not about a body of people who believe in God so that we will do what He wants us to do and get something magical out of it. So again, Rich, we're seeing buzzwords here. There is a certain direction, and you found stuff on this author that helps us understand the context of what he's writing. So you're absolutely right. We need to understand his motivations so we understand why this is coming up. But let me just finish up here. God's purpose in our lives, when these believers approach their individual involvement and commitment in a casual manner, it weakens the entire body of Christ and the impact we are called to have. No, if we don't serve in the way God has called us, we're actually being disobedient to Him and we're sinning against Him. So there's a totally absent description there. As a result, we lose, and so does the local church. No, as a result, we are being disobedient to God and rebelling against Him. God wants us to win. Does He? Win what? To thrive, to fulfill our potential in Him. That's really Rick Warren right there. That's that whole purpose-driven mindset. We will not experience the abundance He desires for us until we acquit our current approach and we are all in. Rich, that right there, I think, is what it boils down to. This is about getting people fired up, and if I serve, then I get something from God. I get to win. I thrive. Jesus says, Jesus said He came to give us life and give it abundantly. Right. What did He mean by abundantly? He's talking about in eternity, right?
The last paragraph is really the boom to me, and I went and pulled the article up. Do you want to read that last paragraph, do you want to listen to your... Do you want me to read it and so your ears can burn?
I tell you what, they've probably been listening to my voice a little too much. Go for it.
All right. And this is concluding in that article. This is the last full paragraph. Once you go all in on generosity, serving, outreach, discipleship, and the other biblical behaviors laid out in His Word, then look out, because God will rain on your life with His blessings like you have never experienced. That is, welcome to prosperity. Yep. Welcome to the Prosperity Gospel Seeker Friendly Movement 101. If you read this article and you bought into it, congratulations, you're now on the beginning of being indoctrinated into the Seeker Friendly Prosperity Gospel.
Exactly. And the last sentence is terrifying. Jesus felt the church was worth dying for. It should be our mission as Christians to value living for it. That's horrifying. That is terrible theology. And folks, go ahead, Rich.
No, you go ahead and finish, because I'm fixing to segue to the to the boom.
Folks, please understand, we're not trying to bash on Pastor Chris Songson. We'd rather not have to. We would rather that what he wrote for Fox News was a call to purity within the church. That the reason you serve is that God has equipped you with the gifts, that you're serving out of your desire to be obedient to Him, out of your love for Him, to bring glory to Him. That's the purpose of our service. You know, the reason we do things like Rich and I doing this show, it's an extension of our desire to serve the Lord. And so we use our meager skills and capabilities to put out a podcast that's not about, trying to rake in ratings. That's never going to happen with us. But we're hoping at least one person hears it and uses what they learn for the specific purpose of serving God and glorifying Him. And none of that is in this article. Rich, we are equipped specifically by God with specific gifts. You go to 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So that is service within the church. as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, what a big difference that is from what Pastor Chris Songson said. This is about, well, use it so that the church will grow and you get this abundant life. He says, no, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's grace. God has equipped you, and through His grace He's done this, and you're using it as a good steward of it. You're using it as someone who's like, I've been given this, I'm going to be entrusted with it, and I'm going to use it for God's purposes. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. When Pastor Chris Thongson gets up to his pulpit, provided he has one, and preaches, he should be speaking in such a manner as that he is speaking as though he is an oracle of God, that he is speaking for God. Not as some life coach, not as some make your best life now type of pastor, but as someone who humbly understands, I am speaking the word of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Pastor Chris Songson wants to see people getting involved. He wants them giving. He wants them discipling. He wants them involved in the church. Why? So their lives will be better for it and the church will grow. But what are we doing this for? Because we're doing it as one who has been strengthened by God to do it, in order, going back to the verse, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. But in Pastor Chris Songson's estimation, it's not about God getting the glory. It's about the church being made bigger, made more magnificent, made more interesting, and you getting a more abundant life. So we're not trying to attack Pastor Songson, but this article is an op-ed adapted from his book called Quit Church. And Rich,
which
is what our second is. It's our second half of why we think the motivation behind this is a problem.
Well, he's definitely, to me, he is more subtle than Joel Osteen. But if you go to digging deeper like we did somewhat, you'll learn that he has more in common with Joel Osteen than he ever would with John MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that one paragraph I read, that is a very common phrasing, maybe worded a little bit different, but that is something that we see quite often come out of the prosperity seeker friendly movement. Just like you were saying, it's not to glorify God, it's what can I get. It's making God your genie, you know, Lord, please give me this, and that way we're comfortable and we have what we want, and we have this, we have that. But like you were saying, our purpose as Christians is to glorify God and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ and do all that we can to help one another, support one another, and lean on one another and comfort one another. And I'm like you, I don't get any of that from anything in this article.
Yeah.
But one reason we kind of picked this article and picking it apart like this, we want to encourage you, whenever you read something, whether it's written by a secular author, written by a Christian, written by whomever, stop and think for a minute. Don't just react based on the words that you read. Try to think and consider deeper and ask yourself some questions as to who wrote it, who are they, what was their motivation in writing it. I mean, this applies especially in today's world with the way our news cycle goes, because something can hit the news cycle and the entire internet will explode for a week based around one comment or one article that may or may not have substance to begin with. So we're hoping to kind of use this episode as somewhat as a training tool in discernment and deciphering and digging into an article like a Berean. But I think Chris and I both came to the conclusion, well, first, we both were wondering how this article even ended up on Fox News, and I have my own opinions on that, and I'll share it with you. I think him or someone within his organization knew somebody at Fox and paid to have this article run, because all it is an advertisement for his book, because just like you said, at the very last sentence in this article reads, this op-ed is adapted from the book Quit Church. But the next question is, okay, who is this Pastor Chris Songson? And is he a solid pastor? What does he believe? Can we very, you know, briefly without knowing him, can we make some determinations on who he is, what he stands for, and what he teaches? And yes, we can, thanks to social media and people providing their bios and information and the about me's and such as that. So I'll let you pick it up from this point, Chris, and let you add whatever you might want to say in here.
Well, just to start off, I mean, if we look at the very end of the article, we get a bit of a understanding of who we're dealing with. It says Chris Songson and his wife Laura are the lead pastors. Yes, his wife and him are the lead pastors of South Hills Church. He is the founder of Church Boom, an organization that has provided personal coaching to more than 200 churches and has and impacted thousands of leaders. His latest book is Quit Church. So that's our first indication of what Pastor Songson thinks about the Word of God. Because, Rich, we've talked about this before. There is a place, you know, in for every person throughout the, as indicated in Scriptures, what roles we are to have. And this is one that gets people in trouble all the time because it's not popular to say, but the role of pastor or elder is not open to women. It is open to men that God has called and equipped, and they themselves, it's not open to every man, they themselves have to meet a list of qualifications as outlined in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, the pastoral epistles.
Well, thanks to their church website, there's a little bit more information that actually speaks volumes about this on their on that South Hills Church website. It added a couple of things that was not in the bio at the end of that article, and it Chris and his wife Laura are the founding and lead pastors of South Hills Church, a multi-state, multi-campus church based in Southern California. So, I mean, not only did he and his wife are lead pastors, but they founded this church. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of these, you know, wonky prosperity heretic types out there do you see? And it's always this man and this woman founded this church. I mean, you've got the Bethel Church Reading, you've got Joel Osteen, you've got the Copelands, so many others. And for me, when I read a bio like that, that right there just throws out everything else. There may be some meat somewhere in there, but when I read a man and his wife are the founders and the lead pastors of any particular church, that right there is 86 put in file 13 over in the floor.
Exactly. The thing is that can a pastor's wife have a lead role in an educational part of the church? Sure. There are women's ministries and there are children's ministries that women definitely can be heavily involved in, can exercise the gifts that God has given them. But the position of pastor, to title oneself a pastor, is to take on that role of elder as described in Scripture, and it is a role that is not applicable if you are a woman. That's just what Scripture says. You can hate me for it, you can hate Rich for it, but that is what Scripture says. And if you want to come at us and go, well, Deborah was a judge, Deborah was not a pastor, she was not a teacher, she was chosen by God for a specific purpose. The men of Israel had rejected God's authority in their lives. They refused to be obedient to him, so much so that when Deborah was sent, she had to tell the man who was supposed to lead the fight, I think his name was, if I remember correctly, Barak, he says, well, I'm not going into battle without you. And because he refused to do that, she says, what was supposed to be your victory will now be given to one of the women of Israel. In which case, the king that he fought against, his head had a tent stake driven through his skull by a woman who he was forced to make her hide him. Okay, this was a judgment on the people of Israel. So please do not use an exception to the rule and a judgment as a reason to try to disregard what God's word clearly says. And that's what we see happening when, and if you look at it, Richard, you're right, when you look at the website, you've got not only the lead pastors, Chris and Laura Songson, but the executive pastors, Moses and Jill Camacho. You know, this is a systematic problem with their understanding of ecclesiology, even within the church, what the church is. And you know, they tell us one more thing about that. That Chris and Laura had a vision of creating churches that unchurched people would love to attend. We've heard this before, haven't we, Rich?
Oh, so many times.
You know, this is all about church growth. This idea of getting people saved and getting them plugged in, this is church growth stuff.
I'd like to add one more thing real quick about this gentleman under, and this is still from their church website, and this is where you can request this gentleman to come speak at your event. It says, Chris has spoken to audiences around the world. His magnetic, humorous style motivates and inspires groups of all types.
Yeah.
Could you imagine John MacArthur having a bio read like that?
I think John MacArthur would tear the website down if somebody, he would shut it all down if somebody tried to speak of him in these kind of terms. John MacArthur cares about preaching the word of God and equipping the body of Christ to glorify God. And yet what we see here is it is characteristic of the church growth movement about promoting the person rather than the message. And you look at someone like MacArthur or Steve Lawson or R.C. Sproul when he was still with us, never did these men want themselves promoted. They wanted the word of God promoted.
Well, I have a problem with the new fad that has occurred over the last 10 or 20 years is this multi-campus church, or the you know, not necessarily, it's not a denomination, they just have multiple campuses, or, you know, they telestream the sermon to this campus or to that campus. I'll be honest, there's only one megachurch I ever knew of, have ever heard of, have ever read about. There's only one that is actually truly teaches the word of God, and that's Grace to You. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting, of all places in the country, for a mega church to be built that God built on God's word is in the darkest part of our country, which is in California.
Yeah.
And I just have always found that interesting. I'm not saying that there's not a mega church out there that does not teach and preach the true unadulterated word of God, but other than Grace to You, I am yet to come across one.
Well, and let's look at his churchboom.org website. You know, when you look through it, it's a membership program, $49 per month for unlimited access, by the way. I don't pay for anything except my cell phone bill that's that much. So if you're a church pastor, you have to pony up almost $50 a month, almost $600 a year to be part of this. And what's the purpose behind it? Well, let's scroll down a little bit. Breaking 200, designed for pastors struggling to break 200. 84% of churches across America attract, that's an interesting statement, attract less than 200 people weekly. Through our proven process and video training, I don't see anything that says through the exegesis of the word and equipping you to be, you know, a servant of God, Breaking 200 will ask you the necessary and challenging questions to find the formula for your ministry growth, but you have to be willing to do the work. This is about come in here and make your church big. That's a huge motivator when you then turn around and write an article about your book that you want to promote, about getting people to serve more. And this is from a church that says, we want to attract unchurched people, in other words, unsaved people, into the church. Let's get them plugged in. Let's get them serving so you can have more than 200 people showing up.
Well, there's your seeker-sensitive portion of the show.
Exactly. I mean, that's what this is. I hate to say it, but Rich, that's what this is. This is a show. This is a dog and pony show.
Well, I have to tell you, in my own personal opinion, this man is or whoever he works with is a marketing genius.
Oh, no question.
Because the clickbait title of the article works. The title of his book obviously works because, well, I'll let you get to that portion real fast, but obviously the book is as bad as the article, but the clickbait title of the book itself must be working because people are purchasing and reading his book. But back to what you were talking about with the whole church boom association or whatever you want to call that monstrosity. It's all about feeding on the emotional pride of some pastors who do not understand that it's not about how many people show up at church. It's about how many sheep you're feeding while they're at church. And I know pastors, they get discouraged because at certain times of the year, attendance slows down.
Yeah.
People don't seem to show up for, you know, Sunday morning services or Sunday evening services as much as they did last year or a couple of years ago. And, you know, a lot of times it's a church that's been established and been around for a long time. You know, the members of the church are getting older. They have health problems. Some of the younger members of the church have gotten married and they have children and different things. And I understand pastors getting aggravated and discouraged when attendance goes down. But we need to remember, regardless, if you're a pastor, please, please remember this. Regardless of whether you've got 200 in attendance or you've got 10 in attendance, be faithful to the ones that show up and feed them and teach them to the best of your God-given ability, because the Word of God never returns void, whether it's 10 listening or 10,000. Be thankful for who God sends to you to learn under your teaching.
Amen. Amen. That's the thing that I think, more than anything, when I hear an article like this and seeing this kind of mentality, I think that's what frustrates me the absolute most, is that the word of God equips us. It tells us what the church is. It tells us what we are gifted for. It points to the reasons and the motivation for everything that we do. But when we look at Pastor Chris Songson, and we look at Church Boom, and we look at other folks like him, go back to the days of Bill Hybels when they started their whole church growth guru nonsense. Go to guys like Rick Warren and their purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church movement. It was all about numbers. It was about you're not really being effective if you only have a small congregation. And what is tragic about that is the idea that you aren't really doing a good job if you have small numbers. Look at someone like Pastor Nate Pickowitz up in New England. The man has a small church, but it is a faithful church, and he is constantly pouring his life into that body of believers in a spiritually dead area. I mean, as he said when he was on our, I think it was on our show, and when he was talking to on NoCo Radio, he was saying that is basically the statistics would indicate that New England is a unreached people group for Christ. It's like going to the deepest part of Africa. They just don't know him. And so that's like a missions field. And he is day in, day out, week after week, faithfully preaching the Word of God and equipping Christians in one of the darkest places of America, a spiritually dead, unreached area. And according to people like Chris Songson, he is not doing God's work because he doesn't have a church that is in excess of 200 people. That's what makes me angry, I think.
Well, it also makes me angry because that exact same way of thinking carries over into the major denominations, especially within the Southern Baptist Convention. And yes, I can speak of it because I am a member. They judge a pastor based on his church growth, based on the numbers that attend his services. Just like the recently elected J.D. Greer, whether you like him or dislike him, regardless, you know, he's got amazing growth numbers. You know, they talk about how he grew this church from 400 to 10,000 members in such a short amount of time. When I hear statistics like that, it gives me cause of concern because, yes, I understand God can do a movement like that. God can increase a church like that. But in today's day and age, it to me, it's more of the exception than the norm. And it just gives me cause for concern when I hear of, like, this gentleman talk about the multi-campus church locations, or they talk about this mega church. The first thing that pops into my mind is mega salaries, mega overhead, mega operating expenses. And yes, they are going to have to pander and water down the gospel if they want to keep their salaries up, if they want to keep this budget line up, if, you know, they're more worried about the red ink or the black ink and all of this type of thing. But personally, I would much rather belong to the church that I belong to, or one like Pastor Nate, because to me that is more of a biblical model. When you have a pastor with a small congregation, that is going to be more like a family, because the pastor is going to be able to get to know the people within his congregation, versus a pastor that has a congregation of 10,000. There's going to be, if a pastor has 10,000 in his congregation, how many times a year does he actually is able to sit down and spend one-on-one time with that family, or with this gentleman, or this lady and her children?
Yeah.
To me, the small church is the more biblical role when it comes to churches. And I know this really has nothing to do with our subject for tonight. It's just a little pet peeve I have of mine when I hear small churches being put down. And that's the way I see it and hear it when I come across articles like this and what we're talking about. But that it just enrages me when a pastor of a church of maybe 40 or 50 in attendance, or even less, is looked down on by these mega pastors because, you know, in their eyes, well, this pastor must not be doing something right because he's only got 40 people coming in attendance. Well, in my opinion, the pastor with the 40 in attendance is probably doing more right than the mega pastor with 10,000 in attendance, because generally, from my experience, when you have a pastor that comes into a church, say, of 200, and he starts preaching the true word of God and teaching what the Bible actually says, that 200 will go down to 50. You will have a decline in numbers, but it's because people don't want to hear the true word of God. They want their ears tickled. And I'm sorry to say, I believe that this what this particular church pastor in this article, I've not listened to one of his sermons, but based on the information provided, I would imagine that there's a whole lot of ear tickling going on those mega campuses.
I don't think that's in question. I think that's the only way you can actually do that. There are exceptions to the rule. You go to somewhere like a Grace to You, and you get the large numbers because for 40-plus years, Pastor MacArthur has been faithfully preaching in preaching the word in the Lord. And he has been reliant not upon methodologies, but he's been reliant upon the word of God. And God has brought to him those who would be saved. But then you look at this and you go, this guy goes, well, it's not about the word of God, because if you're only getting 200 people or less, that whole preaching thing, that's not working for you. So, you know, come do our techniques and you'll grow. I mean, let's go back to his article was drawn from his book, right? So let's go to Amazon.com and we look up the Quit Church book, and here's what it says. Let's face it, church isn't working. That's where it starts in the description. Church isn't working. Rich, the church is the bride of Christ, right? And it's empowered by it's indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? So,
well, I think in his view, in the way that the author meant that, he's probably right, because the church never will be able to compete with the entertainment of the world.
Right. See, he's tipped his hand to what he thinks the church is. So continuing with the description. We hear sermons about the abundant life Jesus promised, but how many of us are actually living it? Again, a corruption of what that Jesus was speaking of.
That abundant life again.
Yeah, and what's funny is that same Jesus talked about how we would be persecuted for our faith. So
when I hear or read someone, or in this case, this gentleman having made that comment, the first thing that pops into my mind: have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs?
Well, and I can probably assure you, if he did, he probably went through seminary, read it because it was a book, part of the reading assignments, and then put it aside so he can focus on everything else. That's just my opinion. Maybe that's a little unwarranted, but that's how I look at it. But anyway, how many of our churches are thriving? You know, by his definition, thriving. How many people in our congregation are experiencing God's blessings? Maybe it's time to call it quits. Quit church? Well, not exactly. Drawing from his experience, interesting, coaching hundreds of churches toward church growth, Chris Songson calls on us to quit our casual cultural commitment to church as we know it. No more half-hearted attempts to win the favor of God and other people by doing the right thing. No more doing things out of a sense of duty. Instead, Songson reveals the spiritual habits that release the blessings of God, both on each individual and on the church. Yes, as you said, this is a mix of blab it and grab it and seeker-friendly. He explains why we struggle to put these practices into action and gives practical solutions to move us forward in health, growth, and maturity. This is a travesty, and quite honestly. And Rich, the thing that this, if anybody wants any reason that you probably shouldn't read this book, when you scroll down to the editorial reviews, you know, when you turn over a book and you want to say, I've never heard of this guy. Is he solid? One of the nice things that you can do, sometimes books will have people who've endorsed it. So if I've not heard of a particular author and I flip it over and I see, oh, John MacArthur gave this a thumbs up, or, you know, Mark Dever, or, you know, one of these guys gave it a thumbs up, that helps me feel there's a certain amount of confidence because these are godly men that endorse a certain book. So it's like, okay, that's encouraging to me until I look at the back cover of Quit Church. This book calls people to quit, give up, surrender, let go of their actions, attitudes, and approaches that have held them back, and to start experiencing all God has for their life and for the life of their church. Get your church to read it and raise up a tribe of quitters. Okay, typical evangelical language. The writer of that endorsement, Mark Batterson, best-selling author of The Circle Maker. This is a guy who wrote a book, an unbiblical book about prayer. You don't want somebody who gets prayer wrong endorsing your book about how to grow your church. And it's the first one.
Also, if you happen to be young in Christ or newly a Christian and you come across this episode, the intro about the book Chris just read, there's several keywords in there that should send off a red flag when you hear things like the abundant life, or Christ giving you abundant life, or real blessings, and I forget the exact wording you just said, but mm-hmm. you need to start learning to be open to those keywords that will send up a red flag that should tell you that this probably is something that you don't want to be reading. But there's actually something encouraging in all of this, and that was the reviews. I found the reviews about this book just filled my soul with joy.
Yes, because, you know, one of the other things that's nice about Amazon is I just hit a button that knocked me to the wrong page. Pardon me. Is they have these great little customer reviews at the bottom. And what's funny is, Rich, when we see books like this and they're in the typical Christian evangelicalism genre, we'll often see like lots of 5-star, lots of 4-star reviews because it typically reaches the lowest common denominator professing Christian. That's why you can see like Jesus Calling have these massive number of reviews, and out of those 4.5 stars, and this was interesting, 2.9 stars out of 5. Now there's 11 customer reviews, so it's obviously not had a lot of people read it yet, but enough to at least generate some reviews. The thing I found really interesting is the highest percentage of reviews were 1-star at 37%, 10% higher than the 5-star reviews. But even a 3-star review notes emphasis on doing rather than being. So this individual is already picking up that this is we're giving you law. Do this and get that. This is that, you know, Chris Songson is actually giving you law. That, you know, go back to the Old Testament, God saying, do this and I will bless you, do that and I will curse you. This is, Chris Songson is basically going back to the Old Covenant by doing this. participate in the church this way and you get God's blessings. That's not what Christianity is about. But I thought these first couple of ones just really made me chuckle in the one-star reviews. In fact, just put, as of today, these are actually reviews for today. Let's see. I think
the book just came out.
Yeah, because you got one for June 8th, which says pathetic. That's all it gives it. Here's one. This pastor doesn't have a clue. This sounds to me like this pastor needs to be born again. Here's another one. Save your money and your time. The theology in this book is just so bad. Church is about worship, not about how you can serve and be served. Even the title of this book is just clickbait. This guy's whole job is getting more people through the door and coaching others to do the same, which is not what the body of Christ is about. We serve and do because we know how much we are loved. If we do it out of a sense of duty or fairness, it's not Christian service at all. Now, Rich, I agree with you. That is encouraging because there is God's remnant being faithful and being good Bereans.
And obviously, his marketing is failing in one perspective. He's hitting and targeting the wrong audience if he's got that many negative reviews that are actually correct in their discernment of this book.
Absolutely, I agree, and I'm sure, as you said, I think this book just came out. Obviously, that he was trying to get it advertised on Fox News as an opinion article gives us some indication that this is he's trying to get the Madison Avenue feedback machine rolling. But it's just encouraging that there's that reminder that God does have His faithful remnant, and He does equip people. And that there are those who look at this and go, no, this is absolutely unbiblical. You better not read this. This is all you're going to do is waste your time and your money. And so, Rich, I hope, as we're wrapping this up, I hope people are understanding, yes, we've been highly critical, especially in this second half, of Chris Songson and his methodology, because as we dug into his site, we learned something about him. He is a church growth guru, and he has a vested interest in getting people excited about growth and numbers, because that's a huge part of his ministry. You pay him $600 a year, and you get taught how to grow your church in numbers.
Interestingly, buy one of his books.
Buy one of his books. There's a vested interest here. Of course, he's not going to tell you how to faithfully serve in the church to glorify God, because if you're doing that, you're not relying upon Chris Songson and Church Boom. You're relying upon God.
He's also relying on emotional manipulation on the part of pastors to make them feel guilty for not having a larger congregation. Yep. And he's there to provide the solution to help them, but it's going to cost them $49.95 a month to do it.
Exactly. So the reason this is important is Fox News is kind of the preferred news source for evangelical Christians. And folks, if you think Fox News is reporting the way they think things the way they are because they're trying to be, faithful to truth, do a reality check. They're simply they're catering to a demographic. And if they didn't think they could make any money off of you, they'd go back the other direction in a heartbeat. So just know that. This was an opinion article that was like one of the top headlines on the Fox News page, because when KT sent it to us, all she said was, did you see the headline about Quit Church on Fox News? And I went, I'm thinking, no, I have no idea what she's talking about. I grabbed my phone, I hit Fox News, third headline down, I find this article. So,
well, I'm not a prophet, and I don't play one on TV, unlike most on TBN, but I foresee this book somewhere in the next 6 to 8 months being a bestseller, and you'll hear and see people within certain circles just clapping and applauding and saying, get this, read it, it'll change your church's life.
Yep. I mean, it's already showing on Amazon as number one new release in Christian spiritual growth. They really ought to put it as number one new release in Christian fiction, but that's just my opinion. Sorry. There's that sarcasm sneaking out again. Anyway, it's concerning because evangelical Christians will see this as a top headline on Fox News' webpage, and it's simply an opinion article, and all it is him promoting his book,
and him sadly, promoting
his service.
And because of that, sadly, with the, and I'm sorry to say this, but this is the way I feel, as gullible as so many American evangelicals are, there will be thousands that will purchase this book because it appeared on a Fox News headline and came across their screen in some way, form, or fashion, which most likely will, because obviously it's generating enough interest and enough clicks to where it's popping up more and more. Right before the show, I saw where it was like three different people had shared this article from three different news sources besides Fox News.
Yeah.
So it's generating attention, and it's doing exactly what this gentleman wanted it to do.
Yeah, the marketing machine is in full effect. So we want to put that out there because it's getting that kind of attention. It's reviving and reasserting a terribly, terribly unbiblical concept of what the church is about and what we're supposed to be doing it for. This idea that church is about using that building to bring in unbelievers so we can convert them. And that's something, Rich, you and I talked about. I mean, maybe we'll talk about this next week, what the purpose of the church is and
yeah, who we're supposed to be there. I think I worded it, who is church for.
But exactly. So I think, yeah, same
principle.
Thing. Yeah, so we're going to probably talk about that next week, but you need to be aware. I mean, when you read this, just a surface level reading, it almost kind of sounds like, yeah, there's something decent there, but it's a lot of Christianese couched in how do you get people more engaged in the church. But what it leads to is an issue of church growth, blab it and grab it theology, so you get your best life now thinking. And by the way, pastors, if you want your people doing this, you need to join our website and pay $49 a month so you can get the latest tips on how to go past 200. And that's all this is. It's bad theology, it's bad ecclesiology, and it's not Christian. And so we want people to be aware of it because that is more, you know, the bride of Christ is God's chosen people. He has elected them to salvation. He has sent his son to die for them. He has redeemed them. He has regenerated them through the power of the Holy Spirit, brought them to faith, you know, repentance and faith, and they are his faithful bride, even when they stumble. And he will use them to glorify himself. That is the body of Christ. And what Pastor Chris Songston and people like him are promoting is the furthest thing from what the church actually is. So, Rich, any last thoughts before we close it up tonight?
Well, I just enjoyed spending the time with you and with our listeners, and we hope and pray that something we've said might help or equip you in some way. But as just like with every episode, we appreciate everyone that tunes in and listens. And Chris, if someone wants to shoot us an email, would you provide the email address?
Absolutely. You can get a hold of us with any questions, comments, complaints at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. You can also find our contact info at slavetothe.com. That's our website. Either one of those ways you can reach us. We're also on social media, but the website will have those links. It'll make it a little bit easier for you to find. But we thank you for being with us this week. We always thank you for your patience with us, listening to two knuckleheads across the United States who simply just want to talk about what we think is important as far as the Christian faith goes. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your dedication to listening to us. And we thank you for the feedback that we get. We thank you for interacting with us. And we appreciate your prayers. That's what we always hope for. And if there's anything about this program that you enjoy, hey, do us a favor. Go to like iTunes, leave a review. All that does is lets us know that folks are listening and that they have thoughts. You can also contact us, like I said, through the contact info that we gave out. and share it. Put it out there. We're not trying to, we're not doing church growth here. We're not doing podcast growth either. But we like to be an influence in the body of Christ, using the gifts and talents God has given us for his purposes. And so if it was valuable to you, just consider sharing it and putting it out there. Thank you for your time this week. We look forward to speaking with you next time. Good night. God bless. We'll see you then.